Good morning. It's Tuesday, the 24th day of September in the year of our Lord, 2024. John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. And it is Tuesday. Yes, it is Taco Tuesday. So, we will be having that to look forward to for lunch or supper. Hopefully, somewhere along the way, some tacos will come into the picture today. Well, let's begin today with consecration. Just locate yourself in the presence of God. Become attuned to His presence within you. And at the right hand of God, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying. Indeed, we are enfolded in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled, It Was a Night of Watching by the Lord. On creating new space for prayer. Our text is Exodus chapter 12, verses 37 to 42. Hear now the word of the Lord. The Israelites journeyed from Ramses to Sukkot. There were about 600,000 men on foot, besides women and children. Many other people went up with them, and also large droves of livestock, both flocks and herds. With the dough the Israelites had brought from Egypt, they baked loaves of unleavened bread. The dough was without yeast because they had been driven out of Egypt and did not have time to prepare food for themselves. Now, the length of time the Israelite people lived in Egypt was 430 years. At the end of the 430 years, to the very day, all the Lord's divisions left Egypt, because the Lord kept vigil that night to bring them out of Egypt. On this night, all the Israelites are to keep vigil to honor the Lord for generations to come. The word of the Lord. Now consider this, 430 years. Get your mind around that. For those of us who live in the United States, we've only been a country for 248 years. I don't have a calculation for how many of those 430 years the Israelites spent enslaved, but it was likely most of them. In other words, no one's great-great-great-grandfather, who was already long dead, likely remembered a time when slavery was not the norm. Just as freedom rings in the deepest sense of our identity as Americans, slavery rang in the deepest sense of the Israelites' core identity. Other than some prevenient whisper of freedom resident in their deepest DNA as human beings, they had utterly no concept of anything else but slavery. There were no Ten Commandments yet, no tabernacle, no sacrificial system to speak of, no priests, Levites, or anything of the sort. There was the aging memory of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They did have one thing going for them. I Am was with them, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was for them. 600,000 men, plus women and children and livestock, conservatively 2 million people. Get your mind around that. As a point of reference, that is roughly the population of Houston, Texas. They have just been through 10 successive plagues of absolute cataclysmic proportion. They are on foot, walking out of the country en route to the promised land. It would take 40 years to get there. They would get out of Egypt overnight. It would take another 40 years to get Egypt out of them. Here's a marvel. Despite centuries of captivity, from generation to generation to generation, the Israelites never stopped crying out to God. They kept their watch. They never gave up. The Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering." That's Exodus 3:7. While I don't believe God is waiting for a threshold count of numbers of people or years of duration praying before he responds, there is something about a slow-growing wave of prayer over a long period of time that, historically speaking, precedes awakenings. There is no formula, just deep, sustained yearning that can only come from a real, deep place of travail. Here's what most amazes me about today's text. I love how the ESV has it. Referencing the night of the Exodus from Egypt, we read, "It was a night of watching by the Lord to bring them out of the land of Egypt." A night of watching by the Lord. Get your mind around that. It's one thing to have our eyes on the Lord, but quite another for his eyes to be on us. What if that's at least a part of the holy secret of deliverance? That the Lord's watchfulness patiently waits for the watchfulness of his people. When the watchfulness of the people meets up with the watchfulness of the Lord, the miracle begins to happen. Then comes this final word from the text. So this same night is a night of watching, kept to the Lord by all the people of Israel throughout their generations. There are so many stories I want to share at this moment. Only one seems necessary. 25 years ago, I received a calling within my calling. It is one I have both succeeded and failed to fulfill. This calling came to me one morning with the clarity of a winter sunrise. It emerged from a word of Scripture, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful." Colossians 4:2. The Lord impressed upon me these words, "Create space for prayer." From that day forward, I have stumbled and fallen and stumbled again, and yet I keep getting back up. I believe I'm hearing from the Lord that the day of March has come yet again. Create space for prayer. I sense the Lord is creating a new house of prayer in my midst again. As I see the words unfold on my screen, it feels both overwhelming and right. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Might the watch for awakening be ready to ride again? The prayer for deliverance. Lord Jesus, you are my deliverer. Thank you for the exodus, and thank you for the exodus you are bringing forth around me and my family and friends, and within my church, and for this land. I receive it, and as you decree it, I declare it. I receive your deliverance from my passive good intentions and into your very watchfulness. Let the watch care of the Holy Spirit rise up within me to create new space for prayer. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. The journal prompts today: are you growing in your sense of the Lord's watchful care over your life? Are you sensing His Spirit rising up in you to enact this very watchfulness in and through you? What holds you back from an undivided heart of watchfulness and prayer? What do you have to lose? What might there be to gain? Now, in a minute, we're going to sing a hymn, number 440, Sweet Hour of Prayer. 440, you might want to hold that page. We're going to sing that hymn, Sweet Hour of Prayer. I want to make a few comments, though, as we head into that hymn. I do sense, we had a profound gathering at the New Room Conference. I want to thank all of you who were able for joining us in the whatever capacity you could. I want to thank you for your prayers. They have been answered and are being answered. It was a meeting with Jesus. He met us there. And we're just continuing. We're just hearing so many stories. I've got my own story. You met me in a very particular way. Next year, hey, I'm just going to go ahead and try to get on your calendars. It's going to be, well, I don't have the date in front of me, middle of September, but here's some big news. It's going to be in Montgomery, Alabama. We're coming back to the Southeast, Fraser Church. And you might want to jump in now. There's early bird tickets available. Go to newroomconference.com. It'll sell out, I think, pretty quickly, because we've been gone from the Southeast for 2 years now, and we have so many friends in the region that are going to want to be there. So there's that. But I guess the thing I want to say here is, and quickly, is I sense a lot of you are waking up to the watchfulness of the Lord upon you. And it's bringing you a lot of confidence and faith and comfort that you're actually beginning to believe now is the time for deliverance. Today is the day. You know, it's like now the Lord is watching, and I'm waking up in a deeper way, and I'm starting to fix my gaze on Him. And I think there are things that some of you have been dealing with for a long time. I think there's some addictions out there that are ready to break. And the Lord is going to bring and is bringing deliverance over you. Begin to declare it. Rise up in faith. He is decreeing it. You declare it. There are all kinds of things, broken relationships, just sort of besetting sin, discouragement, even despair, anxiety. Exodus, he is decreeing exodus over you. And the invitation is to rise up into watchfulness, right? You don't do that so that the Lord will do what he's going to do. No, he's going first. He is keeping watch over you. Now you can respond and fix your gaze on him. Let's start creating altars. Let's start creating space for prayer. Create space for prayer. Some of you heard, even as I said, that sense of calling that he gave to me, you know, some 25 years ago, you're like, I feel that same calling. You heard a calling today, even as I said it. Heed it. Pay attention to it. Make a small move today. Create space for prayer. And begin to give it gravity, the gravity of your presence, because the gravity of God's presence is drawing you there. This is a move of God. Seize it. Oh, there's a lot more I'd like to say today, but we've got to start wrapping up. I'd love to go to Isaiah 62. Maybe you can go there as we're wrapped up and read that word there about, I have posted watchmen on your walls, Jerusalem. They will never be silent day or night. You who call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest and give him no rest till he establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth. I love that text. It's time for us to all begin to rise up into a new day of watching, keeping watch for awakening, the watch for awakening. This is a move we started years ago in Seedbed. I think it needs a fresh launch. I'm sensing the Lord calling me to build a house of prayer. Not build it, the Lord will build it, but to declare it, to establish it right here in Gillette. I don't know what it looks like, but I'm sensing it. Anyway, let's sing. This is 440, Sweet Hour of Prayer, three verses. Let's sing them all. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, the joys I feel, the bliss I share of those whose anxious spirits burn with strong desires for thy return. With such I hasten to the place where God my Savior shows his face and gladly take my station there and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. Thank you for bearing with me. I struggled with this allergy attack I've had today. And you're like, well, that sounded just like yesterday. Friends, I've never claimed to be a singer on here. You know that. I'm a worshiper, and so are you. And so we must sing, whether we can sing or not. We're making joyful noise to the Lord. Well, it's time to hit the fields today. It's Tuesday. I've got my seeds. You've got your seeds. Let's sow today. I'll see you on the field. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.